My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Fan Upstate, Robin the Great One, Lonzo with you.
Are you feeling normal yet? I mean, how long is it going to take to feel normal again after that entire, like an entire week of your life becomes something that you displace and you put aside and pretend like it, you know, it's, I don't even know how to describe it, and I don't think anyone does.
I don't know how you could describe it, to be honest with you. Miserable?
Other than, yeah, let's not do that again.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a while to catch up on everything.
Yeah.
Including sports was very difficult to watch during that time.
Almost impossible. Like it is taken some time to get caught. I'm still not fully caught up, by the way. Like there are still games from this past weekend that I've got to catch up on. I haven't watched everything. I am a believer that in order to do this job, you must watch the games. I have worked with people in the past who absolutely believed that you don't have to watch every game to be good at this. And I'm like, hey, you got to watch the important ones, right? Like, I got to watch the one that have the contenders. You're a contender. You gotta watch the ones that have the contenders. If you want to be good at this job, I have so much to catch up on. It was emergency. And I know that there's a lot of us. I think Zach popped in the chat a little while ago and said he just got his power back, sans 12 days of it. We got ours, Lonzo and I both. I think you said you got yours Friday night.
Friday, yeah. But I didn't get internet back till later on that night. And you still don't have
it. I still do not have internet.
So how much do sports rely on internet now?
In my house, exclusively. We have everything is streamed in my house. So, like, exclusively. In fact, last night with the and I have to tell, and I should have done this back in the 7 o'clock hour, how much I appreciate it. I came home last night. The lady friend had made me red beans and rice, which if you know, it's a big New Orleans dish on Monday nights. You make a big old pot of red beans and rice so you
really
can have
good,
it for the week.
Are they really good beans if I ain't smelling nothing yet? I mean, aren't the after effect of beans proof how good they were?
I'm just dude to dude here.
I mean, okay. There ain't nobody else listening. Dude to dude here.
Why you think I've been leaving the room during breaks, pal? Because I'm gonna give you.
You don't have to be that kind of courteous.
I'm gonna give you crap on the air because that's what friends are for. I don't even have it in the that's what friends are for part of my body to do to you what I have done to that hallway a couple of times this morning. All right?
See what I would do.
The good news for you is I haven't said, hey, this break might need to be 10 to 12 minutes long.
Well, that's true. What I would do is go over and say hi to Tim and then leave him a gift and then come back.
See, I ain't got that dog in me. All right? I ain't got that dog in me. But the lady friend made me some beans and rice last night, and I was like, "All right, you're cooking dinner for me." And she does that, right? Like it's not like a one off thing, but like a special meal. Like it's one thing to say I'll cook you dinner; it's another thing to be like, "I'm gonna cook you that dinner," right? And it was that dinner.
You need to point out why she was cooking it
because for she you. Knew my team was gonna get their asses beat last night, and she knew that I was gonna be sad about it because. And she knew it. So she's like, let me make you a special meal. We uncorked a bottle of wine we brought back from the wedding in St. Augustine that we were like saving, right? She's like, you're going to need this. She was right. All right. She's like, let me get you through this. Let me get you through the night. She did. It was very appreciated. But the reason we got to watch that game was because she took the time to figure out how to hotspot her phone to the TV. Because otherwise, I basically would have been like listening to that game on the radio. Now, I will say this: there is one thing that I have taken from the what would it end up being 9 days or 8 days that I had no power. There is one thing I took away from it. I think I'm kind of back to sports on the radio, to be honest with you. Like there's still something to be said about watching them on TV. I think let me rephrase that. Baseball on the radio. I am all the way back in on baseball on the radio at this point.
If I have to choose, if I have to partake of baseball, because I'm not a big baseball guy, I prefer radio baseball. When I first started in radio, it was running Braves games with carts. Look it up if you don't know what that is. And so I've always been a little partial to that. So, and I think it lends to being able to do other stuff while that's on. And those guys paint such a picture and they have more time to do it in.
For me, it's not even the doing other stuff element of it. It's just the, like, sitting back and relaxing and enjoying and have somebody, like you said, paint that picture. There's just like there's something to it. There's just something to it that I don't know how to describe it. It is there's some sort of, like I said, I don't really know how to describe it. There's some sort of for lack of better word, like romantic quality to it, right? Like, and I mean romance, like I want to kiss you, baseball. I mean romantic in that, like, I'm going to be super dramatic and cliche here, but like I feel connected to the game and I feel connected to all the generations past that was how you took your baseball in, right? Like before games were broadcast all the time nationally for a while there. If you wanted to take in a baseball game, you had to take in the baseball game via the radio. And, you know, that's how my grandpa listened to radio, listened to baseball. That's how his grandpa paid attention to baseball. You listened to it on the radio, and then you read the box scores in the papers the next day. And I think with this sport, and as you pointed out, because it is, as much as I love baseball, and as much as baseball has done, in my opinion, a pretty good job. I was very skeptical about the pitch clock and the disengagement rules and all that. As skeptical as I was about the goal of Major League Baseball to speed up the game, I think they've actually done a pretty good job of it. The games are sped up by about a half an hour on average. I think that you can feel the difference in the speed of the game. But it is still a game that, like it or not, has a lot of downtime, right? I mean, even with a pitch clock between pitches, there's still the whole chess game that takes place. Even with the downtime, there's still the fact that you have to switch sides during the inning break. Like, there's still a lot going on. There is a lot going on, but there's still a lot of spots where there's nothing going on. And I, for whatever reason, when you have a guy there who knows the game, who knows the teams, who knows the stadium, who knows the fans, and who knows how to walk you through, here's what I am looking at and can help you see it even when you can't see it. There's something to be said for that. Scott said, Rob, the word you're looking for is nostalgic. I think nostalgic is great. I think it's a great word for it. It is nostalgic. But I will also say that though I am getting older, baseball was already a televised phenomenon when I was a kid, right? Like when I was growing up, the Maguire-Sosa race is the one that a lot of people my age lean on. They lean on that race, that summer of 98 race to the home run title that year between Sammy Sosa and Mark Maguire. And, you know, I grew up a Braves fan. My brother grew up a Cubs fan. So he was all on board the Sosa wagon. That was one of the few, I think, moments where everybody that loved that game, everybody was watching the same thing. I remember very much watching games during that summer. I was 13 years old. I very much remember watching games that summer. And they would, towards the end of the summer, into the fall, you'd be watching a game and they'd go, all right, we're going to interrupt this game and take you out to St. Louis where Mark Maguire is up for his first at-bat of the evening. And then they'd come back, you know, an hour later and they'd say, all right, we're going to interrupt you again, take you back out to St. Louis, Mark Maguire, second at-bat. And if they did that, when they do that today with a bunch of stuff, it can get pretty frustrating, right? Like, if I wanted to watch that, I'd tune into that. If that's what I wanted to see, that's what I'd be looking at right now. That summer, we were all on board with it. So baseball was already like a big-time televised thing when I was a kid. There was never really a point in my life where listening to baseball on the radio was like a thing, right? Some of you guys, it is, I'm sure. Some of you older guys, I'm sure, have the stories of, you know, going out in the garage with your dad and sneaking a beer when your mom wasn't looking to listen to the Braves game or whatever. I didn't really have that. When I was a Braves fan growing up, the Braves were on TNT. Or excuse me, TBS. And if me and the old man were going to watch a Bravos game, we watched it on TV. So I never really had that. But this past week, or I should say last week, when I was sans power, I listened to the Braves playoff games on the radio. I listened to the race to the wild card on the radio. I listened to the wild card round on the radio. And so last night, Monday Night Football, but there's obviously ALCS and NLCS games, or DS, pardon me, ALDS and NLDS games going on. Last night was the American League side. I had the Monday Night Football game on to watch it with the lady, and I had one earbud in, and I had the ALDS games going on. And man, it's just, like I said, I don't know, I'm bad at this. I wish I was better at it, to be able to put into words the feeling, emotion, whatever you want to call it, that it invoked. But to sit there and listen to guys who for the last, you know, 200 days have done nothing but be around these teams and watch these teams play, so they know every little thing. And by the way, and this is one of my favorite parts, this is why when I have called, and some of you have heard me do it, when I've called football games in the past, I don't want to just say, turns around, hands it off to the right side, and tackled for a 3-yard gain. Like, I want to tell you what's going on. Quarterback spins out to the left, hands it off into the gut of the running back, pulling guard from the left, kicks out block on the defensive end, pushes ahead, 3-yard gain. This is what they did. Here was the counter tray. It was the double reverse end around Statue of Liberty, annexation of Puerto Rico, whatever. Because to me, like, I want to be able to let you see it in your old mind's eye, right? Baseball guys, I think, do that. And I don't think it's unfair to say better than anybody else. I think baseball guys do that better than anybody else. And I've just fallen in love with it all over again. So to answer the question that Lonzo asked when we started this segment about what's going to be the takeaway from Hurricane Helene and the delays in life that we all suffered afterwards, Like, I'm a focus on the positive guy because there's enough negativity in the world. You know, go get done what you got to get done to get rid of the negativity, but focus on the positive. I can tell you that one of my takeaways, and I'm very excited about it, is that it has, for whatever reason, I don't even want to say reignited, just ignited this love of baseball on the radio that didn't exist for me before a week and a half ago, honestly. Like, I listened to it on the car. Like, I listened to it in the car if I'm driving, right? But, like, it never really stuck out to me. For me, it was always, man, I'm glad this is on the radio, but I really wish I had a television right now to watch this on. And I think that was always because, you know, TV was always there. It was always an option. This past week, TV was not an option for me. And I it was just kind of like, all right, dude, you either listen to it on the radio or you watch the YouTube highlights when you get to work the next day. And maybe it's just because I didn't have the option. Maybe it's because that opportunity just wasn't there for me. But man, I got to tell you, like, there was the takeaway for me, I think, is going to be an appreciation for this ignition of a love of baseball on the radio that I've never had before. There was something special about it. And I do wonder, like, will this translate to other sports for me, right? Like, is there a possibility that I'm going to find myself, when the NBA season rolls around, is there a possibility I'm going to find myself listening to Pelly's games on the radio? Is there a possibility that I'm going to find myself listening to games that aren't my team on the radio? I listen to sports podcasts all the time now, right? Like, that to me is how you kind of get a gauge for what people are talking about, what people want to talk about, what the big stories are, whatever. Am I going to translate that now away from just pods to, like, yo, the Timberwolves and the Trailblazers are playing tonight. That's the best game of the night. I'm going to go sit in the Brookhaven and put that on the radio. I don't know. But my takeaway from the last week, sans power, is sports on the radio are dope, dude. Texas said, growing up outside of Chicago in the 80s, it was Harry Carey on 720 AM WGN and Don Drysdale on 670 WMAQ for the White Sox. Filled up my summers for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So earlier in the show, we gave you our report cards at the quarter mark for the AFC. Let's do the same here for the NFC. Let's start in the NFC East. Washington Commanders, they are 4-1 behind potential Rookie of the Year and Most Valuable Player, Jaden Daniels, the first player to get to 1,000 passing and 250 rushing yards in 5 games. They have one loss. It was week 1 against the Buccaneers, Jaden Daniels' debut as the Commanders quarterback. They have not lost since then, with wins over the Giants, Bengals, Cardinals, who turned around and beat the San Francisco 49ers and the Cleveland Browns. I got to tell you, Zoe, I don't know how you can give Washington anything but an A+ for their performance so far this season. Cliff Kingsbury has been exactly what I thought he was going to be, a good offensive coordinator. When you give him a quarterback that understands the game, A, and B, I've said many times, I think he was a guy Peter principled. He's just a coordinator. He's not a head coach. In a coordinator role with a guy who knows how to be a head coach in Dan Quinn, which is let your coordinators work and get the hell out of the way. I have turned completely around on Dan Quinn. The Washington Commanders get an A+.
It's one of those times where you've hyped a player and I'm like, yeah, he's a hyping this guy like crazy. But it appears that you were right.
You know why?
No, I don't.
Because I know ball.
Yeah, see, I don't. That's why I don't know why.
A+.
Yeah, I know you thought and believed that Jaden Daniels was going to be good. Did you believe that Washington would be undefeated at this point?
Well, they're not. They're 4-1. Oh, okay. But they only lost to Tampa. They only lost in Week 1. They only lost in his debut. They ain't lost since, though. I mean, no, you could ask the same question. Did you think Washington would be 4-1? No, I thought they'd be good. In fact, I picked them to win this division, but I will keep it a buck with you. I also picked them to win this division because I thought Dallas, Philly, and the Giants were all going to be down this year. Right about that, too. But my goodness, Jaden Daniels is a stud. A+ for the Commanders.
Out of those teams, I know we're going to get to them, but Dallas, Philly, and I'm going to leave the Giants out of this. Dallas and Philly still have time to get it right, though.
Sure. Let's go to Dallas, because I think if you're going to pick a team out of that group that you think is going to get it right, Dallas is the one most everybody's picking. And I'm going to ask the question now that I asked preseason, why? What is it about this team that inspired? They got CeeDee Lamb, who's a stud. All due respect to Rico Dowdle, former Gamecock. But like, is that the guy you think's carrying you? Jalen Tolbert? Kevontae Turpin? Are these the boys you think are carrying? They got Jake Ferguson. They got CeeDee Lamb. And that's your list. Like, it's not that good of a team. I'm going to give Dallas I'm going to give them a B-, frankly, because to get to 3-2, I really thought they probably should have been 2-3. The Steelers bleeped the bed on Sunday Night Football. Granted, there was a lot going on as far as, you know, the rain and the lightning and all that crap that was going on. Dallas should be 2-3. They're lucky to be 3-2. I'll go C+ for Dallas.
Man,
ooh, you're getting run today.
This is Tuesday. Yeah, I won last week. Probably not this week. I'm disappointed in Dallas because I thought they'd be winning this division. There's still time. So, yeah, I was going to go C also.
The Philadelphia Eagles right now, they did get the win over the Saints, but as we've talked about with the Saints, they also have a loss to the Falcons. They have beat Green Bay and lost to Tampa Bay as well. I'm going to give I hate to go cliche here, I'm going to give the Eagles a C as well, because this is exactly what I expected this team to be. I don't get the decision to keep Sirianni in place. I think Jalen Hurts has come crashing down to earth. I think he overperformed and is now where he should have been the whole time, not the other way around where he's down and we expect him to come back up. I think this team's poorly built.
And Jason Kelce being gone is hurting them.
Yeah.
Because if you've listened to them any at all, he made a lot of the calls at the line that a quarterback would usually make, and now he's not there to make those calls. And there's just a decline everywhere, but this is kind of where I expected them to be.
So, C-fair?
Yeah.
Okay. And the Giants. I mean, the Giants are 2-3.
They won two games.
They did. The Browns and the Seahawks, which, I mean, the Browns stink, but the Seahawks is a good win for the Giants last weekend. On the road, by the way. I will give the Giants a C+.
Because the thing is, you're looking at expectations, what you thought they would be. And as far as that goes, two games is better than what I thought they'd be at this point.
I thought they'd be right around here. I'll go C+. Minnesota, A+. I don't know what to tell you. Sam Darnold's good. And again, let's be real clear, because I am going to keep consistent with what I've said in days gone by. Sam Darnold's good. Sam Darnold is made to look better because there is a set of skill position players around the Minnesota Vikings right now that are exceptional. But hey, they built a hell of a roster that allows you to take a guy like Sam Darnold and make him look like a league most valuable player candidate. The Minnesota Vikings get an A++++++.
I agree, but I also think about if Kirk Cousins had stayed, would they still be 5-0?
I think so.
And I think so, too. I think it's everything that's around him. You don't have to have a stellar quarterback. You just got to have a steady quarterback that doesn't make mistakes.
Yep, completely agreed. And that's why that was my concern, and the Falcons fans gave me hell for it. That was my concern for Atlanta fans bringing Kirk Cousins down. How many times did I say this season, the Vikings don't look great because of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins looks great because of the Vikings. Same thing is now true for Sam Darnold. But regardless of how or why or what the setup is, they built a team that is that.
Darnold is like leading the league in some...
in everything.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
He's ridiculous right now, dude. Like, he is absolutely ridiculous
right now. He is what everyone seemed to think he would be when he came out of college.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. And again, I do think there is some level of allowing a guy the opportunity to develop, allowing a guy the opportunity to kind of find the stroke, allowing the guy and again, Sam Darnold's been in the league like a whole lot of years. But they found out how to build the team around him and they did it. Detroit Lions 3-1 as of this point in the season. The Lions, of course, had that one very tough loss at home to Tampa Bay, but they do have wins over the Rams, Cardinals, and Seahawks. Not exactly a murderer's row of W's. I'm going to say a B- for Detroit because they've been good, great one, but I was kind of expecting special out of this team this year, and they look like another good team. They don't look like they're suddenly a standout Super Bowl favorite out of the NFC. I'm going to say have not yet met expectations, and for that, I'm going to go B-.
Same here, but as we talked about before, I think they're slow starters, and I think that they're building back to where they were at the end of last season.
I don't disagree. I think there is some level of concern of, okay, like much like we talked about with the Dolphins earlier. Is there enough film out on this team that the secret's out?
Well, if the coach would stop making Applebee commercials and concentrate on football, maybe they would do better. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's really loud.
I'm just suddenly concerned. Am I going to get like, is there some sort of heat ray shooting
that
through
is,
me right now?
I think someone doing something in the production room. I'll go check.
Trying to do a show in here!
I'll go check.
I just wanted to yell at
him. I just want to see if someone's in there and tell them to stop.
Green Bay Packers are 3-2 behind Jordan Love. They have losses to the Vikings and the Eagles. They do have wins over the Colts, Titans, and Rams. Honestly, not really an impressive win so far to be thrown around for the Green Bay Packers. I would have to say, as far as the pack goes, underwhelming. At this point is Green Bay. I'm going to go Green Bay right now. I'm going to give them a let's just say a C. I don't want to go minus because they've won every game they are expected to win. They lost to the Vikings. Turns out the Vikings are good. They lost to the Eagles, but this was before the onset of reality for Philadelphia. I'm going to say the Packers have done nothing special, but nothing atrocious either. I'll say C+ for Green Bay at 3-2.
I think they did better when Jordan Love wasn't in there. I'm just saying. And by the way, there's no one in that room, so I'm going to go with aliens.
Okay, I accept that. Chicago Bears, 3-2. I'm going to go B for Chicago, a flat B. You had the two losses to the Texans and the Colts. The loss to the Texans, not a bad one. Lost by one score. The loss to the Colts before Richardson went down, not a bad one. Lost by five. They have wins over the Titans, Rams, and the Panthers. Again, nothing special, nothing spectacular, but it is a first-year QB under center as a rookie with elevated expectations, even from normal number one overall picks. I'm going to give Chicago a B.
Really? A B?
Yeah.
I'm going to go a D.
Why? They're 3-2.
Yeah, it's a bad looking 3-2.
I think you're just hating on the Caleb Williams
here's,
train.
Here's the thing, you know, I would give them an F, but they've actually won a couple
there
games.
There it is.
So I can't do that.
There it is. The Atlanta Falcons lead the NFC South. They are 3-2, had a gut-out win over the Saints, turn around, beat the Buccaneers in overtime. They also have a win over the Eagles. They drop one to the Chiefs by just 5, drop one to the Steelers. I don't hold week one games against teams when it's all said and done. I'll give the Atlanta Falcons a B as well. I think this team is... Again, I kind of thought they were going to be the runaway favorites in this division. They are tied with Tampa Bay. They do have the tiebreaker so far with the one divisional win. I'll go a B for Atlanta. I think there's room for improvement, but they're kind of right around. I do want to be clear. When I said Atlanta to win the division, that doesn't make the division a good division to win.
See, this looks like a shot for the NFC South to have a couple of teams who have more wins than losses by the end of this year.
A couple total.
Yeah,
Atlanta and Tampa.
But no, I mean, not going 7-9, maybe going 9 and, you know, not, maybe 10 wins? Could they win 10?
It's maybe possible. Atlanta's got the Panthers coming up. Then they got the Seahawks coming to the house. They're at Tampa, back home for Dallas, at New Orleans, at Denver. They got the Chargers on the road at Minnesota and Las Vegas, back home for the G-Men, at Washington, back for Panthers. I'll say 9-8
They've
is probably
like,
the
like
roof.
They've got three games for sure that are probably losses in there. The rest are a possibility. I'm
bunch of toss-ups.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins has been gutting them out. I mean, he's gut out the wins. Can't be mad at it. Saints 2-3, F minus, 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 minus. It's my favorite clip.
All right, Saints not as bad as you're making them out to be.
Three straight losses to the Eagles, Falcons, and embarrassed by the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, which could have been worse. But on the horizon, there's a guy who might actually end up maybe supplanting the guy who's starting right now because the guy is injured. That would be Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler gets in there. It's a different story.
I don't know, man. Spencer's
getting to go, hey, that's Chris Olave. I think I'll throw the ball to him.
Spence's last time out didn't look great.
So I forgot that Olave was on the team last night.
Olave had a couple of bad drops last night. I'm not going to say game-changing. We were still losing, but a couple of bad drops. Jokes aside, D-plus for New Orleans. C-minus if you want to be gracious.
I'm going to go see. They're better than what I thought they would be.
Okay. Carolina is at 1-4.
See, if you go by expectations, you might as well go with A, because this is what we thought they'd be, right?
I'm going to put them in the same place that I put the Gamecocks earlier, and it is my expectation for this year is that every week we'd be able to say, you were better than the week before. You got the win over the Raiders on the road, by the way. Good win behind Andy Dalton. You were competitive with the Bengals for 3.5 quarters, and you just got flat out smoked by the Chicago Bears. I'll say, okay, if you want to go by expectations grading, C. Yeah? Is that fair?
Yeah, because it's what we expected. We expected them to be this bad, and they're a little bit better than that.
Rams F, Niners F, Cardinals C, Seahawks B.
I don't even know if I give Seahawks B. That whole conference, I'm just not sure about. Yeah.
The West is racing towards replacing the South for NFC, whatever the opposite of supremacy is. All right, got a couple more clips I'll play for you. When we come back here in just a minute, then we'll ask what the X is going on, and then we'll get the hell out of here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Seventy-one 307, the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-M. We'll read them on the radio broadcast. Texter said, Rob, if you don't have hot chow chow in the beans and rice, you're doing it wrong. We have had the chow chow discussion before. And I got to tell you, I still haven't tried it. And it's not for lack of interest. It's just, it's never been in my vicinity until I moved here to the upstate of South Carolina. And now chow chow's around me, but I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I only know one person who is a chow chow advocate in person. It is the stepfather-in-law, big chow chow guy. Chow Chow on everything. Chow Chow on his dogs. Chow Chow on the burger. Chow Chow on just about everything. And I'm not against it. It's just whenever I make food, it's never really around. And if I go, and this is probably a fault of mine. I'm a big try everything guy.
Yeah, but do you want to take a chance on a dish that you know is good already by adding something that you're not certain about?
If it's something I'm making at the house, I will. Right? Because, like, if I make it at the house and I put it on there and I don't like it, fine. I got more. But the reason I haven't really tried it in a restaurant, if you guys have any place that you're like, this place has, I don't know, is there a place that has the best chow chow? Right? Is there like a spot that you go, if you want to try chow chow, this is the spot. You can text it to me at 71307. If I'm in a restaurant and I order a dish, man, I got one crack at it, right? And so if I go, yo, I wanna try this thing, can you throw me some chow chow on there? Man, if it comes out and it stinks, I'm gonna be real sad, right? Like, if I order a burger that I want, that I really like, and some of y'all have said, go chow chow on the burger. If I order a burger that I really enjoy, and then I go, you know what, YOLO, put some chow chow on that bad boy, and I get it, and I don't like chow chow, or I don't like that chow chow, then now I got a burger I don't want. And so I either gotta finish a burger I don't like, which is just gonna make me hate chow chow at that point. Not because it's bad, but because it took that burger from me. Or I gotta order another meal. And I gotta be the guy that sends food back. I gotta tell you, I told you earlier, not a confrontational guy. I will eat a dish from a restaurant I don't like before I send it back. All right? It's just me. So if you got a spot, that you go, all right, Rob, if you wanna try the chow chow, this is the spot. Let me know what it is.
I've heard of a restaurant that features chow chow.
I can't say that I have, and that's not, again, that may just be that I just don't know about it. It's like every time we bring up food something on this station, somebody hits me with if you want this, go there, right? Somebody said just order it on the side. I feel dumb that I've never actually considered that.
Well, how do you know they have it?
Like, don't most places advertise if they have chow chow? Like, I don't know.
It is not a common whatever it is. I mean, what would you consider?
You know what?
Is it
you
a condiment? What is it? Is chow chow a condiment? I mean,
I think so.
What category does it fall into? Is it like pickles? I mean, I've had it before. I disagree with everyone who says it's good, but you know, but still, I don't recall ever seeing a burger with that on it or a meal with that in the ingredients when I've went to a restaurant. I don't recall that. I've only heard people who, and the people who swear by it,
put it on damn near everything.
Yeah, well, and I think that they were forced to do it as children, and it makes them think of their childhood.
I absolutely do think there are some foods that only stick around because that's what people ate. I'm going to give you one right now. And some
my
of y'all,
daddy used to eat it, and I'm going to eat it too.
Some of y'all are about to want to fight me over this, and I accept it. Meet me in the parking lot after the show. Vienna sausages are trash. They're trash. They're trash, okay? You're an adult. You have money. Buy real meat.
Okay, well,
they're trash.
I had no power and ate a bunch of Vienna sausages over the last week, and they were delicious because I had nothing else.
There are so many other canned goods.
But you know what they were? You know what they were? When I was a kid, when we were on welfare, they were a delicacy. So I get it. I get what you're saying. They're not delicious, but they're not as nasty as you're saying.
No, they're trash. And the only reason you have a taste for Vienna sausage is because you were obligated to eat them as a kid. That's it. That's the only reason.
Obligated because, you know, I didn't want to die. Yeah. By that obligation, that's obligated. Yes.
You were obligated to eat them as a kid, and therefore it's like we talked about baseball earlier. When I get all romantic about baseball and other people are like, it's dumb. It's romantic because I grew up playing it, and that's what I played with my dad around me, so I'm connected to it. Vienna sausages are only good to people who only got to eat Vienna. Like, that was your special treat.
Okay,
right?
So
they're trash.
So what do you think about Spam, then?
I'm going to be real with you, and I think we've talked about this before. I don't think I've ever actually eaten Spam. Dead serious. I don't think I've ever eaten Spam.
Fried Spam and eggs? That's good to eat.
Now, I'll give you one that I'm big on. The wife introduced me to the fried bologna sandwich. I have never had a fried bologna sandwich. The wife introduced me to the fried bologna sandwich. I am now, and I mean this, a big fried bologna sandwich guy. Little fried egg on the top.
Love fried bologna. Yes.
Absolutely. Now, is bologna, like processed bologna, a delicacy? No. But you know what I did growing up? I ate bologna sandwiches like they were going out of style. With one slice of that yellow plastic that we call American cheese.
Well,
all right?
Well, I would eat bologna sandwiches with smiles, ketchup and mustard smiles on them.
Bologna and ketchup?
Yes.
All you, buddy.
It's not all me. Everyone I knew ate ketchup on their bologna sandwiches, especially a fried bologna sandwich. I'm trying to figure out how to word this. I get you are the center of your world, and sometimes you think that that no one else does it because you don't do it.
My God, do I have awful news for you. You're the same way.
No, what I'm saying is no one does that when everyone I know does that.
No. I wasn't saying only you. I said that's all you. I got no interest in that. I'm not saying nobody else does
okay.
it. I'm saying that sounds awful to me.
I took it wrong because of incidents in the past.
No, listen, you want ketchup on your bologna?
You just don't like ketchup.
My burgers get ketchup. My dogs get ketchup.
Do they? Okay. Because,
yeah.
All right, because it seems like you're anti-ketchup.
No, I'm not anti-ketchup.
Well,
you can't put
ketchup on that. We can't put ketchup on
that. But if you
put
ketchup on steak, you're a monster.
No, you're not.
You're a monster.
You're not.
All right, do better. Do better.
You're a monster if you hurt people. That's a monster.
You are hurting people if you put ketchup on your steak.
You're not hurting anyone.
You're hurting all the people that could have eaten and enjoyed that steak, and you ruined it.
Wow. So what you're saying is when you go to a steakhouse, you look at what everybody else is eating and what they're putting on their stuff instead of paying attention to the food in front of you.
I don't actively look around, but if I happen to glance over there because I hear a noise and I see somebody dipping steak in a ketchup, yes, I judge the hell out of them.
Stay out their business. Go there and eat your food. Don't be judging other people.
Stop ruining that food. Texas said, I love dipping my fried bologna in ketchup. I got to tell you, for some reason, I can't explain this. I'm less turned off by fried bologna and ketchup than just regular bologna and ketchup.
It's excellent, by the way.
I just said, I can't explain it. I don't know why.
And ketchup and mustard smiles make the sandwich taste better.
I mean,
just saying.
Again, like live your life. But again, like all of these things,
it's a good point, James, because all those things are associated with kids, and Rob hates kids. So, of course, he wouldn't like
I don't know if
things.
You know this. I used to be one. No. Like a long time ago.
We don't know this for sure. I mean, we don't have any empirical evidence.
It's literally pictures of me as a kid hanging in my house.
You could just, right? Well, robots could do
Listen,
that.
I enjoy ketchup on the right foods. It's just that y'all get a little liberal with the ketchup usage around here. And it needs to be curbed for the betterment of humanity, all right? I don't know. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've made the decision.
Uh-oh.
I've made the decision. I have decided. On the way home from the office today, after we're done in the Fortress of Nerditude, and Rob takes off to take it back to the Casa de Love, I am going to stop at the grocery store right around my house. I'm going to get a little jar of Chow Chow, and I am going to make the lady friend burgers for dinner tonight, and I will throw Chow Chow on a burger, and we'll see how it goes. I'll have a report tomorrow. I've decided that's what I'm going to do.
It's a mistake. It's a trap. You're falling
into it. But that's
the
thing. I'm going to make us both two or three burgers. I'll put Chow Chow on one. If it sucks, I'll feed it to the dog and I'll eat something else.
What if the dog won't eat it?
Then we'll all have a real judgment on Chow Chow tomorrow.
All right, this is a portion of the show where I ask Rob what is Xing, and he will regale us with why it is doing that. The first thing that's Xing is Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver catching the X in today. Because Alien dropped 40 3 years ago.
No, it's a birthday.
Happy birthday, Sigourney. What a legend. What an icon.
How old do you think she is? Don't you look.
I'm not. She's 62.
She probably wishes that. She's 75.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm going to say this. I love Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver.
I said it. Let it go. Let it go. I love. That's one of the worst. I love Sigourney Weaver because Sigourney Weaver. I watched Alien as a kid.
Wow.
It's probably where my hatred of jump scares comes from.
It could be.
Okay. I watched Alien as a kid. And I love Sigourney Weaver because Sigourney Weaver, and I know that she was not the first. She was just the first for me. She was the first, like, genuinely badass. If everyone else would have listened to her, they would have lived. Female action hero that I can recall seeing. Like I said, I know she was not the first. But in my life, Sigourney Weaver was the first badass chick that it's like, Y'all should have listened to the lady in her underwear. If she's running around in the skivvies on the spaceship, she knows what she's doing. Maybe pay attention to her.
Yeah, I agree with some people on the stream. I loved her in Ghostbusters.
There is no Dana, only Zool.
All right, the next thing is Mike Mizanin.
Mike the Miz Mizanin. I am not caught up. I am about halfway through Bad Blood. I've just decided I'm just not going to watch the Raws and SmackDowns that led up to it, and I'll just have to catch up as we go. But my understanding is the Miz became the most despicable son of a in pro wrestling and turned on friend of the show, R-Truth.
Well, that may be and is true, but no, it's also his birthday.
I don't care. I hope you have a bad birthday, Miz. I hope you have sad, lonely, with your stupid hot French wife and your millions of dollars in your mansion. I hope your birthday stinks, Mike.
Well, she's French-Canadian. He's 44, by the way, and still doing things at a high level in wrestling, which is good for him. All right, and people thought he would never make it. And it
backstabbing.
Wrong. All right.
Backstabbing, son of a...
Two more things. Next thing is Spider-Man 4.
I saw that trending the other day, and I was working on the assumption that it has something to do with the production standpoint of it, though I did see there's a bunch of rumors going around, including one that Sydney Sweeney is going to be cast as Black Cat, which, well, that might be the best casting since RDJ.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen, but it's just the same old thing.
She fits the character.
Well, no, she does. It's just more rumors about it being a multiverse thing. But this rumor is there's going to be symbiotes in it. So we'll see.
I'm down for it.
I don't think that crossover happens until Secret Wars, because that's when technically he got the suit in the first place. All right. And finally, the last thing that's X-ing is Florida.
Florida is X-ing because Hurricane Milton has taken its sights at Tampa Bay. This is going to be a... I'm kind of tired of saying storm of the century. Like the storms are just getting worse. And I'm not going to go on the soapbox here. Suffice to say, think about space the folks lasers in Florida. Send the folks down in Florida good vibes. They are going to need it, and prepare because they're going to need a lot of help down in the Tampa Bay Big Bend area after this is over. And as much as folks have done to help us as we continue to recover from Helene, I hope that we will do the same for them, because this is going to be a disaster, and I despise it, All right, that's it for the show. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Come back tomorrow. We'll do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.